Welcome to I Run Radio. Coming up, an author who built a better life one step at a time.
It was when a relationship ended, coming out of my teens, that my self-esteem was really on the floor. And I turned to some old trainers, picked them out of the garage, and decided to go for a run. And it was a very laboured 2 mile trudge, sort of a walk jog scenario, but that was the very early start of me discovering running.
A running career that started with a bet.
My older brother, who was also a runner, challenged me, or bet me actually, that I couldn't run a half marathon. So I said, well, that sounds like a good challenge.
And the unique landscape of the Death Valley Marathon.
It looked like you were on the moon in certain places, and it's just, most of it is just rock. You're just seeing rock, but you're seeing really interesting rock formations. And it's on two sides of mountain ranges, so it's quite intriguing geological wonder of the world.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How's your week, Ben?
Everything is just terrific. Yeah, thanks very much for asking.
And the running is going well. You and I are both training for Boston right now. I'm also thinking, maybe I'm going to do the Winterman Marathon, which is next weekend in Ottawa, a winter marathon.
Yeah, good for you. I think that's a good idea. You know, actually what happened to me in my running week this week, and I'm always telling people not to do this, and yet we always do this every time, is I found that first hint of sort of running anal, you know, running jerk. I don't want to, you know, like that where you get a little obsessive and a little crusty and a little nervous and maybe a little yucky a little bit, you know, your personality starts to entrench a bit and not for the good. So I started thinking of, you know, that I needed to take a step back or something, take a breath, you know. So I did not want to make Boston be this thing that's going to detract. I only wanted to add to my life. And yet, you know, if you're not careful, you know, you miss a run and you can get quite agitated.
So,
you know?
Tell me more about that. What are you describing here? What's the edge that's created by this? What's going on?
You know, I remember last time I did this, and I think in my book there was a chapter called, like, you know, something about it, like, where you could take this stuff too seriously a little bit. And my dad's got a great expression for this. When when you walk under a tree and the birds fall off the branches, you know, then the problem is kind of you. You're emitting some kind of vibe into the atmosphere.
Right.
and I'm constantly telling people, like, don't do that. Let running add to your life and whatever. But, you know, I had to miss. I was scheduled to do a thing Monday, and then my wife switched it up on me. And, oh, no, I had a brownie, and, like, I wasn't supposed to. And, like, it's like, oh, my God, it's only February. Like, don't do that, you know. So I think
so
it's good
the
for you to run the marathon. Burn that off, you know?
Not to take it too seriously.
Yeah. You take it seriously. We're taking this stuff seriously. But, you know, there's that line where you're not, and you're not even helping yourself. I mean, you know, that what that often leads to is training too much, doing too much, and, you know, and just putting yourself in a bad spot. So you got, but it's just so funny because this week in particular was the first time I remembered, like, oh yeah, this is what I was like in 2012 when I trained for Boston. You know, that edge.
Interesting. And you know, it's somebody said to me one time, you've got to take the task seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously, right?
So that's great advice.
That's part of it too. Yeah. Well, you know, running does such great things for us, and a great example of that is, we got several great examples of that on the show today, in fact, but first up this week is going to be Rachel Cullen, who's the author of a book called Running for My Life, How I Built a Better Me One Step at a Time. She actually shares from some of what she wrote when she was a teenager going through depression, the stuff she wrote in her journals, and how she, in part through running, look, running's not the solution to every mental illness on its own, but running was part of how she overcame that and became a better person and a stronger person. And you and I have both talked to lots of different people who have had that experience of running becoming a focal point in their lives and empowering them and inspiring them to do more.
Yeah, her book is really great. I'm glad we can get her on the show, and everybody should look out for that. And that message, of course, is so true. Obviously, it's not a cure-all. I mean, nothing is, but to add to sort of a happier foundation and to be active and to have a feeling to give yourself goals and accomplishments, it's just terrific, and it's just done wonders for her, and I know so many other great people.
Yeah, and we're going to tell you more about the Death Valley Marathon in California. A friend of mine just ran it last week, and he'll share his story. And then you introduced me to a guy named Phil Troyer, who's going to be on the show today. And I love this story because here's a guy who basically, on a bet with his brother, ends up doing a half marathon. And now he's off doing ultras. He's going to do the Canadian Death Race. He's going to do these multi-stage events. And this has all happened in the last 3 years. It's crazy.
Yeah, and he's just another one of these great guys, too. It's just like, you know, for anybody listening, you know, he's just a member of our community, and he likes the magazine, and he participates on our website and everything. And, you know, we want to hear your stories, and we want to share your stories. And Phil is just somebody that we met through that channel, and we're always, we're always looking for more. And they're always inspiring, and everybody's got a story, and, you know, this is what we're here for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because we have lots of great people that we talk to on the show, and there's no shortage of great guests out there, but we're always looking for more stories, and there are so many terrific people in the running community, raising money, overcoming illnesses and challenges and doing such great things. And we want to hear more of those stories. So reach out to us if you've got a great story to share about yourself or somebody you run with, somebody you know, then please send it our way. We'd love to hear from you. And you can reach us through social media or whatever. We'd love to hear those stories.
Totally. And we're very responsive. So let us know. And just great. And go, Phil. Go, everybody, you know.
Yeah.
We appreciate it so much, and we'll see you out there for sure.
All right, Ben. Don't take it too seriously this week. And do it for the love of running.
Good luck in the marathon. Let us know how that goes.
So, Ben, have a great week.
Thank you, my friend. We'll be cheering you on.
That's iRun's editor and general manager, Ben Kaplan. Coming up next, we're going to talk to author Rachel Cullen. We'll be right back. Discover the Pentathlon des Neiges, presented by MEC, the world's biggest winter multisport with 6,000 participants on the historical Plains of Abraham. It's also for you. Visit pentathlondesneiges.com. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. Don't forget, you can always listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. Our first guest this week is British author and runner Rachel Cullen. Her new book is called Running for My Life, How I Built a Better Me One Step at a Time. Rachel, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thank you so much for having me on, Mark. It's a real pleasure to be on the show.
And it is very cool for me to be talking to you because your accent is one that I know well. You come from a part of the world where my dad was born and grew up and where I still have lots of family and where I have visited many times. You are from the other Halifax, not the Halifax in Nova Scotia, but the Halifax in West Yorkshire in the United Kingdom, which is the area where my dad grew up.
That is correct, and I do hope that your listeners can understand my very Yorkshire accent, Mark, so that gives some background in case people thinking, who is this woman from and why is she sounding so weird? That's the reason. I am indeed in Northern England, and I'm in my home in the Yorkshire hills, so it's lovely to speak to you over in Canada.
Yeah, well, I've gone on many runs in Yorkshire. It's probably the part of the world that I have run the most other than my hometown here in Canada because I've spent so much time there visiting family. So I know there are lots of great canals you can run alongside, lots of great paths, and there are lots of great walks you can take as well in Yorkshire.
Yes, it's a beautiful part of the world, and it's very hilly as well, so we're never short of any inclines and any hills to run up over here, so
right.
It's far from flat. So anybody who's, you know, I'm in training for the Boston Marathon at the moment, so any kind of inclines on the marathon, I should be getting plenty of practice over here.
Right on. All right, so let's talk about your story and how you came to write this book. And the role that running has played in your life. Tell me a little bit about what you were going through and how you turned to running and how that helped you.
Yeah, it's quite a long story, really, Mark. It started very early on. I had a mum who suffered from quite severe mental health issues. She struggled with clinical depression, and I sort of grew up in that environment. And when I entered into my teenage years, I began to demonstrate similar traits, and I was suffering from sort of early onset depression myself. I was comfort eating, I gained weight, I was very sedentary, I was labelled a non-sporty, non-active, kind of a bookworm, geeky type of a young teenage girl. And it was when a relationship ended, coming out of my teens, that my self-esteem was really on the floor, and I turned to some old trainers, picked them out of the garage, and decided to go for a run. And it was a very laboured 2 mile trudge, sort of a walk jog scenario, but that was the very early start of me discovering running. It took me a long while to learn to love it, but that was the sort of the very beginning of my journey with running.
And what impact did you feel? As you say, you don't love running overnight. Nobody does, I don't think, when they first started. It takes some time to get used to. But did you discover pretty quickly that it was having an impact on not just your physical health, but your mental health?
Yes. It was really funny because when I was actually out running this very same route, I never went any further than this one route from my mum's house. It would be, like I say, a very laboured jog-walk scenario. And every time I went on it, it hurt. And physically, I thought, what am I doing this for? Why am I doing this? But equally, every time I got back through the door, I felt better. And I didn't really understand why I felt better having gone out and put myself through that. But over a period of time, it seemed to sort of dawn on me that there was a benefit. You know, I felt better having done it than sort of the negative connotations and sort of the pain of actually going and putting myself through it. So I think that began to create an association for me in my head of I feel better for doing this, no matter how hard it feels at the time. And coming from the low levels of fitness that I had, it was a real challenge for me to, as it is for many people, to actually sort of put the trainers on when I really had very low levels of belief that I could be any kind of a runner or that it was something that I could partake in.
So tell me where it went from there. How did you go from that to running marathons?
Yeah, you've really got to fast forward. A lot of this story is really the content of the book, and it was a long journey to get to the place that I am now, and that I have been for the past sort of 7 or 8 years. But fast forward a couple of decades, and running had played a bit part in my life over the subsequent decade. While I was chasing careers, I was a lawyer, so I was busy going down a path of chasing this sort of perfect life, going for the sort of the career, the house, the, you know, all that kind of stuff, and running was sort of lost somewhere in the mix of all that. And really, it didn't really become a thing and a huge part of my life until I set myself a goal when I was pregnant with my daughter. I've got one little girl, and it was during pregnancy. I set myself a goal to run the London Marathon when she was 7 months old. And the reason for that, I'd had to come off my mental health medication that I'd been on for 12 years previous to the pregnancy. As a result of being pregnant, I had to come off that medication. Obviously, I'd been diagnosed as suffering from clinical depression, and it was having to come off the medication and being terrified of the me that would emerge the other side of motherhood. And this goal for me was enormous, both physically and mentally. And so I set myself this challenge to run the London Marathon in 2011. And it would be 7 months from the date of me giving birth to my daughter to actually standing on the start line. And it was enormous and perhaps a little bit naive, perhaps a little bit silly, perhaps, you know.
Very ambitious.
Perhaps ambitious. I'd never run a marathon before. But I felt like it needed to be so big to catapult me into motherhood and into a place where I felt physically and mentally strong enough to take on the new responsibilities of being a mum and to find myself again and not lose myself in this new sort of newly assumed role and the responsibilities that came with it.
Wow. And tell me about the experience of running the London Marathon then and how it felt when you accomplished that.
Yes. So I had my daughter in late September 2010. And again, through the latter part of the book, I describe the journey that I went on. It was a very solitary journey to train myself. I was not a member of a running club. I wasn't surrounded with friends or with anybody within the running community. It was a very solitary personal goal of mine to get to the London Marathon. And I document that journey in the latter part of the book. And I made this hodgepodge, really naive marathon training plan, which really consisted of me doing a series of races to increasing in distance to get myself up to the London Marathon. And when I did finally reach the start line, and then subsequently the finishing line of that marathon, it felt as though that whole journey had taken me not 4 hours and 25 minutes, which is the time it took me to complete that very first marathon, but it actually took me 7 months, 4 hours and 25 minutes, because I'd in effect been training and building up to that moment from having my daughter. So yeah. It was a euphoric, it was a huge turning point in my life, actually, and that catapulted me again into this realization of what running could be and what it actually meant to me and how much of myself I discovered on the way and the new me that had emerged at the other end of the marathon. I'd almost become a different person, and it was the dawning of that realization that sort of opened up this huge world of possibilities for me, and it's that threw me into a running community, a running world. It became a huge part of my life, far more so than it ever had done before. And my fitness was, vastly improved. You know, I was fitter as a new mum than I ever had been prior to pregnancy throughout my 20s. And then it took me on this huge journey to the point where, you know, my times were getting faster and, you know, I was improving quite quickly. And I started to get prizes in my age category and eventually started to win a few races, which was something I'd never imagined would be possible or feasible in my life at any point. So it sort of threw me into this new place. And that all came as a result of that one goal to run that one marathon.
Wow. And in the book, of course, you go back through the journey you had as a teenager, and you even share some of what you wrote at the time, right?
Yes.
About the experiences you were going through.
Yes, I did keep journals. I did keep diaries throughout that time. I've always loved writing, and back then, as you know, the same is true today, I find writing to be a really therapeutic way for me to keep a track and to manage how I'm feeling and the thoughts and the sort of the worries, fears, anxieties, the life issues that crop up. So even back in the day, back in my teenage years, that was my way of just dealing with and documenting and processing the way that I was feeling at that time. So fortunately for me, I was able to integrate some of those entries into the book, and that's been a really sort of that's been a brilliant thing, because who would ever think that you know, diaries of from 25 years ago would come into the mix, you know, all those years down the line, and
yeah.
something that is part of it, a far bigger story. And who would have known that that 14, 15 year old girl would become the 39 year old woman that I am today, with the life that I have and the things that I've done and been so privileged to take part in. You know, I would never have imagined myself now from the person that I was back then.
What a powerful story, and I applaud you for writing about it and for sharing it. Such a personal story, and I wish you the best of luck with the book. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. It has been my pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
Rachel Cullen's new book is Running for My Life, How I Built a Better Me One Step at a Time. Coming up next, from a first run to doing ultra marathons in less than 3 years. Canada's longest running marathon, the Scotiabank Calgary Marathon, is a challenging, competitive, and fun event with a race designed for everyone of any level. Register now at calgarymarathon.com and experience the vibrancy of Calgary on May 27th. My next guest started running less than 3 years ago, and in fact, he did it on a bet, and now he's gotten so hooked on running, he's hoping to complete the 125-kilometer Canadian Death Race. Phil Troyer, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thank you, thank you.
So tell me about this bet that happened in the fall of 2015.
Well, we're in Vancouver at a company meeting, and my older brother, who is also a runner, challenged me, or bet me actually, that I couldn't run a half marathon. So I said, well, that sounds like a good challenge. And that was in, must have been in the, like, October or something like that. So yeah, he bet me that I couldn't run a half marathon. So Boxing Day, I started running because I didn't want it to be a New Year's resolution. So I started training for the Vancouver half marathon, which was May 1st of 2016.
Okay. So are you and your brother, do you make bets like this often? Is it the kind of thing where you're always challenging each other, and when one of you bets the other that you won't do something, then you automatically have to do it?
Oh, yeah. He's my older brother, and I work for him, so we work together in business. So there's definitely some competition there. And we actually ran the Calgary Marathon, my first full marathon, in 2017, and we actually finished that one together. It's arguable about who beat who, and actually we have the exact same chip time down to the hundredth of a second, but he still argues that he came across the line before I did. So
okay. So you ran it together, and then you tried to outdo each other at the finish?
Well, we had this agreement. We ran it together, and I was pretty tired. My hips kind of stoved up on me, and I was stiff. And so we finished it together, and the Calgary Marathon finishes in front of the grandstands. There was a pretty big crowd there, and we knew this. My wife has this thing that when I finish, I can't look like I'm in pain like I really am. I have to smile and sprint. So I told Steve, I said, okay, we got to sprint across the finish line. I think I can get 10 yards. Like, we'll sprint the 10 yards. Well, we come around the corner, and the grandstand was probably, I don't know, 100 or 50 yards away. And Steve kind of sped up a little bit, and then I kind of sped up a little bit. And then we kind of went back and forth and crossed the finish line. We were both wide open, and it's amazing you can get that kind of speed even after running 40 kilometers.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a big finish, and it is amazing what you can summon at that point, but it sounds like that sums up your entire relationship right there.
Pretty much. He's always been my mentor, and he kind of, like I say, he got me into it. I did beat him in one other race, kind of unofficially. There's a Facebook Live video of it going around, but I kind of sprinted to the finish line and left him in the dust, unbeknownst to him.
But in this particular case, you ended up with exactly the same chip time down to the hundredth of a second.
We did, yes, and my wife actually got it on video. She was in the grandstand. She got a video of it, but just her angle, you can't quite see who crossed the finish line ahead of the other person. So, yeah, we went to the chip time. They put him ahead of me on the timing board. I don't know, maybe because he's older than me. That's all I can think
of. Okay. Now,
obviously you did the first half marathon on a bet, but you must have liked something about it because you ended up doing another one, and then you ended up doing a marathon, right?
Yeah, I actually, and so in 2016, I think I did about four or five half marathons, pretty much all road. I did one trail half marathon. And then in 2016, I just thought, you know what, I want to do a full marathon. So I trained for the Calgary Marathon. And while I was training for that, Steve, again, my brother, he's like, hey, there's this ultra marathon, and you can do a half of it. And that's the Golden Ultra Marathon in Golden, B.C. And it's 3.5 kilometers, the half of it is 3.5 kilometers the first day, 30 kilometers the second day, and then 10 kilometers the third day. So I went on their website, and I'm like, well, man, there's a half, but why not do the full? Like, that was 5 kilometers the first day, 60 kilometers the second day, and then 20 kilometers the third day. So I started, you know, we kind of started talking about it, and he's like, oh, that's too much. That's crazy. That's crazy to do that three-day ultra like that. So he ended up kind of backing out and was going to do the half, and I said, well, I'm going to go for it and do the full. So that was September of 2017 is when I did that ultra marathon.
Wow. 85 kilometers over 3 days.
Yeah.
Good for you. And what was that like? Did you handle it okay? Was it to be running that much, especially on the last day? Were you able to do it?
You know, honestly, and I wrote in my blog about it. I tried to write about it. You can't describe it. And it's one of those things, unless you've done it. If you've run an ultra marathon, you can understand what I'm saying. But if you haven't done it, I can't explain it to you. I tried the day after I did the 60-kilometer leg. I tried to write, and it's like, I don't know what you say. Like, there's no way to describe the feeling. And, of course, I've been training for about 8 or 9 months for that race. And, I mean, you're training daily for it. I mean, everything you eat, everything you do, everything is looking towards this day. And when I crossed the finish line, it was all done. Like, the 9 months of training had completed, and that's the extent of it. And it's a very, very odd feeling, you know, the biggest accomplishment, but in a way it's almost the biggest emptiness, because now what do you do?
Right.
And I actually refer to it in one of my blogs too, is it's, you have to refocus. Like, it's tough on a person, at least it was for me. And I mean, I still tell myself or tell people I'm not even a runner. I just run, because I'm still learning these things. And yeah, you have to refocus yourself after completing such a big feat like that.
Yeah, and obviously you have, because now you're talking about doing the Canadian Death Race. So first of all, tell us a little bit about that event.
So that event it's just south of Grand Prairie, Alberta, where I live. It's about a two-hour drive from here. And I actually go down there and train a fair bit. It's all trails. It's 125 kilometers, goes over three mountains. I can't remember if it's 14,000 feet or 17,000 feet in elevation change. But it's all pretty much all single track. You get a 24-hour cutoff. So, again, now I want to experience that 24-hour fatigue. That's kind of my goal, is to see what that's like.
So you're hooked, Phil.
Yeah, it's, my wife says I'm addicted, actually.
Yeah. And what is it you like about this so much? Not just about running, but about doing these big challenges.
You know, part of it is inspiring other people. You know, if I had to do it by myself, and if I couldn't share my experiences, you know, through Facebook or a blog or Instagram or whatever like that, it wouldn't mean as much to me. I'm involved with two different run groups here locally. That's so much fun. You know, I see people finish their first 5-kilometer race, their first 10-kilometer race. You know what? I was there. I've done that. If you can do that, you can do more. You just have to push yourself and do it. So, you know, I always say it's about the people and it's about the fun. And, you know, if you accomplish something awesome and you, you know, experience some new scenery and new country in the process, well, hey, that makes it even better.
And you obviously enjoy the experience of running too, right?
You know what? I always tell people I run because it's faster than walking, and I'm kind of lazy and I want to get the run done. So
right.
I'm not a runner. I'm 210 pounds, and I'm about 5'9". I'm a big stocky guy. And 3 years ago, before I started running, I was actually doing powerlifting. I had a coach, and I was powerlifting. And I kind of got lost interest because there was no motivation. It was hard. There's no competitions up here. So it was hard to train for something, you know. It was hard to have a goal in mind. So that's when Steve mentioned about the running thing. I'm like, yeah, I can, you know, there's a goal in mind. It's something I can achieve. It's an accomplishment.
Have you thought past the Canadian Death Race?
Oh, yeah. Of course, Canadian Death Race is now managed by Sinister Sports, and they started a Sinister Triple, which is the first race is 160 kilometers. 3 weeks later is the Canadian Death Race at 125 kilometers. And then 3 weeks later is another race of 108 kilometers. So I was toying with doing that one here in 2018. And again, like I mentioned to you earlier there, it just seemed like I may be setting myself up for failure going from the 60-kilometer race to 160 kilometers. That's a big difference. So I kind of scaled it back. I said, I'll do this 125-kilometer race this year. Next year, definitely my goal is to do those three ultras.
Wow. And let's go back to the bet that you made with your brother. Have there been any more bets since then? And now that you are running longer distances than him, are you going to turn around and challenge him to do one of these things with you?
You know, I keep trying to get him to come with me, and he's done some trail races. He's actually training right now to qualify for Boston. That's been a goal of his. So he's focusing pretty hard on speed and road, which is not my thing. I'm not fast at all. And I don't really care for road that much either. So we definitely challenge each other back and forth. You know, I did a 30-day run streak in December here. He said, Phil, you're nuts. That's ridiculous. It's cold. And I said, yeah, but it sounds like a cool idea. So we definitely challenge each other, go back and forth all the time.
All right. Well done to both of you, and especially you for these amazing experiences, these ultras that you've done. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Phil, and good luck with the Canadian Death Race this summer.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's Phil Troyer, an ultramarathon runner who is training for the Canadian Death Race later this summer. Coming up next, speaking of death, we're going to talk to a runner who just did the Death Valley Marathon. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. My next guest on iRunRadio just completed the Death Valley Marathon, and that is just as hard as it sounds. We are joined by Rick Dearden. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Mark.
So tell me what made you want to do this marathon. You've done others. You and your wife, Wendy, run marathons together sometimes, although I should point out sometimes when you run a marathon together, you're not actually running together. She's a little bit ahead of you. But what attracted you to the Death Valley Marathon?
Well, we had done Sedona, and the countryside was so stunning that we came across Death Valley, and it was quite different, and it's, you know, you're running below sea level. But that was a little misleading to me because the brochure had said that the course was relatively flat, and I'd never been to Death Valley before, so I was thinking, well, this is just going to be straight flat. Well, there are many, many serious hills on the Death Valley out and back marathon that leaves from Furnace Creek. It was a lot harder in terms of hills than I imagined.
Okay. All right. So that's just one of the many things that are difficult about it. Obviously, the conditions are unique. It's one of the most interesting places in the world. How would you describe that area? You sent me a couple of pictures of what Death Valley looks like in some places. It's kind of a crazy place, isn't it?
It looked like you were on the moon in certain places. And it's just, most of it is just rock. You're just seeing rock, but you're seeing really interesting rock formations.
And it's on two sides of mountain ranges. One range has a peak that I think is over 10,000 feet. So it's quite intriguing geological wonder of the world to do it. And we were there also in weather that was unusually hotter than February is there. So it was like 87 degrees Fahrenheit. But what surprised me, I mean, I was quite scared about how hot that was going to be to run it, but it actually wasn't anywhere near as debilitating as I thought it was going to be. In fact, the sun didn't bother me at all.
Okay.
But it was hot. It was dry. You know, you hear that expression, dry heat, that people tell you about. But
yeah.
And there was a bit of a breeze, too, which helped a lot. So the heat wasn't a problem at all.
Okay. Why do you think that is? Just because it wasn't as humid?
Dryness. I guess the dryness. And then having a bit of wind helped cool you off. So it wasn't a problem at all.
Okay.
But the hills were.
Yeah. What was the experience like for you? Did you enjoy the race?
I really enjoyed it. I'd never been in that area of the country before, and the people were fantastic. The race organizers who we met was a couple from San Francisco, actually, just decided to run a Death Valley Marathon every year, and that's what they did. So it's a small, I think there was maybe 50 people running the marathon, a lot more running the half, and a lot more running the 10K. But, you know, the start was a guy stands sort of by this little sign that's on the ground saying start, and he just says go.
Okay.
That's it. There's no timer chips, as the event organizer was telling everybody before. You know, if you want a chip, take it off your shoulder and put it on your bib.
So it's actually quite low key.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of people there. So when we came to the half marathon turnaround point, people got spread out from one another quite a bit. But most people finished, I was told, because we met the organizers after, like, at dinner that night, and they said, like, only five didn't finish.
Okay.
Which was pretty good. It was pretty good.
And did you enjoy visiting the area as well? I mean, obviously, this is partly about running the race, and it's partly a little trip, too, right?
It was a trip. Well, we started in Las Vegas, and I'll tell you a bit about that in a second. But in Death Valley, we stayed at the Furnace Creek Ranch, which was a fabulous resort and fabulous food, and then drove off to see, like, the Mesquite flat sand dunes, and then the salt flats at Badwater, which, you know, that's sort of the vision. And I think that was one of the photos I sent you. It's a vision you have of Death Valley.
Yeah.
Is that you can see when it goes to 135 Fahrenheit, you don't want to be stuck out there in that vastness of nothing.
Yeah, no question. So what do you want to tell me about Vegas? Isn't that breaking the rule about Vegas if you tell me what happened there?
No, I think we're okay.
Okay.
Well, to me, the most amazing thing was I was there when the lunar eclipse was happening.
Right.
So this one was a blue moon, but also a blood moon, of which I knew nothing about until one of my partners, who's actually a royal astronomer, sent information about it happening and telling everybody in the east, you're not going to be able to see it, but if you're in the west, you can. So I watched that come up one morning, and the blood moon it turns completely red. And I saw a red moon, a red full moon. And it was amazing to see that.
Very cool. And it was a super moon, too. It was closer to Earth than normal on top of it all. So very rare, very rare lunar event. Now, you mentioned the Sedona Marathon earlier, and I have been to that part of the country. And it is amazing. The color of the rocks, the landscape there is phenomenal. You had run the marathon there. I haven't done the marathon. What was that experience like?
Well, it was an out and back as well, and again in another national park. The first half is mostly up, so it was different that way. It was really tough getting to the turnaround point, and then a lot easier coming back. But still, the hills were challenging, but the scenery was unbelievable, as you say. And you think you're looking at a particular rock formation one way, and then when you get up to it, it looks completely different. So the view constantly changes.
Yeah.
But there was a lot more vegetation. You don't see much vegetation in Death Valley. You see rock. You see the moon.
Yeah, no question.
Sedona was a lot more colorful. But it was a hot one, too, when we ran it. And we ran that one in February as well, a couple of years ago.
So is this kind of your thing now, Rick, that you like to pick a spot that you want to go see and then you run the marathon there together?
Yep. That's what my goal is just to be able to cross that finish line before they open up the highway again.
Right.
so I can wear the T-shirt for real. That's my goal. And we did the Marine Corps last fall. I don't know what we're going to do this fall, but we did the Marine Corps. And you've done that one, right?
Yep, I have. I like that one.
And the sites you see, the historical sites you see in Washington and Arlington, and just the dealing with the Marines. I mean, it was pretty moving. It's moving when you see a guy running with a pack with a picture of his buddy that's been killed in action.
Yeah.
Going by you, or you going by him. It's pretty moving.
Yeah, not unlike the Army run here in Ottawa, at a much bigger scale, of course. And so, do you have anything on your list still that you want to run?
Well, I want to run Tokyo because I've done five of the majors.
Wow!
But I haven't done Tokyo.
There you go. Well, that's a natural. So you've done London, Berlin, New York, Chicago, and Boston.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, Boston was a charity case. Remember? I'm not a qualifier like you for that one, but I have run the course and run those other ones as well.
Yeah.
I want to do Tokyo.
Well, that'd be cool. And then you'd be onto another continent as well, right?
Right, but I have no desire to go to Antarctica.
Okay.
You're not going to be one of these seven continents people? Yeah, you do that. You do that, and I'll interview you.
Yeah, I probably won't be doing that either anytime soon. Well, Rick, it's great to talk to you again and to hear about yet another wonderful running experience for you and Wendy. Congratulations on the Death Valley Marathon, and look forward to hearing what's next for you guys.
Thanks, Mark.
That's Rick Dearden, who just completed the Death Valley Marathon last weekend. On next week's show, we're going to go halfway around the world, and we're going to talk to a runner who has been living and working and running, of course, in Asia. I hope you can join us then to hear about some of his experiences. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.